All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Our guest is messing around with his camera for some reason. Matt Duchene joining us here all the way from Dallas. Matt, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. We've been playing tag the last, it seems like 2 years on Instagram. What's going on?
It feels like it, eh? Yeah.
It does feel like it. So how's it going? How's life?
Good, man. Busy with the family, but obviously with hockey too, but it's all good stuff. So I know there'll be a day where, you know, my wife and I are looking at each other and wishing for a little chaos in our life. So maybe today's not that day, but I know it'll at some point it'll be that way.
So what do you have? How many kids, how many dogs, how many wives? What are we looking at?
Just the random number of wives, probably two too many. No, just kidding. Three kids, all on five and under. And then we got a 12 and a half year old dog. It's going to be 13 in July. And then we just got a puppy, 10 week old puppy. So yeah, it's busy, but it's good.
Why would you get a puppy?
Ask my wife. Well, the reason she laid it out for me and I agreed to it. And I don't think I had a choice, but I agreed to it anyway. With our oldest dog getting, you know, older, we want to keep him, you know, feeling young and feeling good. And then obviously with the at 12 and a half, he's a Brittany Spaniel, and Spaniels usually live decently long, so, and he's in good health, so hopefully he's got a lot of years left. But you know, when that day does come, I think it'd be tough on the kids too if there wasn't another, you know, dog around. So she kind of laid it out for me and the reasons why she thought it was the right time. And, you know, it's already chaos, so might as well add a little more to it, I guess.
No, I get it. And you don't have control of any decision, let's be honest. So,
You know how it goes.
I have seven kids, and my wife was like, gosh, I really would like eight, maybe nine. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. So we're expecting our eighth in a couple months now. And I'm expecting nine probably in 2 years. If we talk again, I'll have nine on the way. So it's not up to me. I don't do anything. I just kind of hang around and pay the bills. But anyways, thanks for joining us, Matt. I appreciate it. You're in Dallas. A lot of our close friends play for the Dallas Stars. Joe Pavelski, friend of the show. I talked to him many, many times. I played with him. So it's probably a blast playing with that guy. So let's just start here. Dallas Stars, 111 points, best record in the Western Conference, consistently maybe underrated. Whenever we talk on the show here, I'm like, Dallas sucks, they're gonna lose in the first round, what are we doing? It's because I don't watch you guys. What is going on this year with the Dallas Stars that's so different?
I don't think it's that much different from them from last year. They were a heck of a team last year, obviously went to the conference finals. I think they were like right there for the division at the end of the year. I remember actually Colorado beat us in Nashville last game of the season.
Yep.
To win the division. So they were right there last year. They obviously had a great playoff run. When it came time for me to pick where I was going this year, as unexpected as that was, they were right at the top of my list, and it's paid off so far. But the work's just starting. We're kind of where we want to be. We still, obviously, hopefully Vancouver can lose tonight. We can clinch the West without playing. But if not, we'll play tomorrow night and hopefully win. And clinch that and hopefully have home ice or and then have home ice for as far as we go in the western side of the playoffs. And so yeah, a lot of great things. You know, it's kind of one of those situations you got to kind of stay in the moment, and because we still have another game that could very well mean be a pretty big game and tomorrow night. But yeah, I know all of us are excited for the real thing here.
Now, be honest, you know, nobody listens to the show. We're not very popular. Is there a part of you that wants Vancouver to win out so you can play those bastards in Nashville first round?
No, tell the honestly, truth. Honestly, I've played long enough now where it's kind of like,
yeah.
I'm kind of over that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I just won the Stanley Cup, and honest to God, I mean, I have so many close friends there still. And, you know, if we play them, obviously we'll try and kick their ass. But if they, if we don't, then, you know, it is what it is. So, for me, honestly, I can honestly tell you there's no, yeah, I mean, if we played them, probably there'd be a little bit of added, you know,
excitement
to try and win. Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, that's not the goal. The goal isn't to win, you know, the first round of the playoffs. The goal is to win, you know, four rounds of playoffs. And that's where my sights are on. And that's the only thing I really care about right now. And, you know, yeah, maybe that'd be a little bit, you know, nice, I guess, after what happened. But at the same time, I mean, I love those guys there, and
oh, still, of course,
still tight with those guys, and coaching staff too.
Everybody, the GM, the ownership, everybody, the stick guys,
but I mean, we'll see what happens.
You know, Tim, they did a study, and they just, you know, analyzed people's verbiage and what they say, and they said when people say honestly a lot, usually means they're lying. And Matt, your answer there, honestly, it says a lot. It says a lot.
And that's okay. I don't say honestly unless I mean it. I promise you that. I'm a terrible liar. So if I'm saying honestly, I'm not lying. I'd be avoiding that word, because I wouldn't be too honest about what I'm saying.
That's so funny. But anyways, back to the Dallas Stars in this year. Do you've been on some good teams. Obviously, you've played for the Colorado Avalanche. You were there at the start of their whatever they did with all the young players. Then you moved on to Nashville. You played for Ottawa for a little. You bounced around, but now you're on the Dallas Stars. Good players. Can you tell a difference between like a good team who's going to be a contender and a team like you guys are on right now? It's like, we want to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, honestly,
there it is again.
So sorry. I guess I say it a lot. Now I gotta watch for it. But I haven't played on as many good teams as I'd like. I've only been past the first round once. And every time except one time I've been in the playoffs, I've been the eighth seed, been a part of that.
Wow.
The Blue Jackets, when I was with them for that post deadline. That was the best chance I've had to win. That's the year we beat Tampa in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a heck of a team. I think, you know, when we played Boston and lost to them, we kind of felt like, man, we just might have missed a chance at the Stanley Cup, because we had a heck of a team. I would have put us up against anybody that year. We were a wild card team, but we weren't. If you go back and look at that roster, and you know, we weren't really a wild card team. That's just where we finished. So, kind of like maybe where Vegas is at right now, you know, kind of that situation. So I don't think anyone's looking at them and thinking that they're a true, you know, wild card team that's, you know, squeaking in type thing. So so for me, this is in Nashville, we had some really good pieces and guys that I believe that, you know, we could have put something together there, but just, I don't know, just sometimes it just doesn't work. It doesn't, you know, work out the way you want it to. It's your jaw off by a hair. You know, that was kind of what it felt like there the whole time I was there. It was just felt like we were trying to hold water, I guess.
Yeah.
We had a really good group, but just couldn't put it together. And I think every guy to a man that was there, and maybe guys that are even still there, would say the same thing about our group. We had some really good pieces. We just couldn't put it together. So here in Dallas, it reminds me of a little bit. It's probably deeper than the national team we had, but the depth reminds me of the Columbus team that I was on. It's deeper even still than that Columbus team, but then this team's been able to put it together, and they've proven it in the past, so it's not like they're going through things for the first time. So for me, what I love about it and what's really fun is seeing, you know, the hunger on guys' faces every night from day one of camp till now. And that hasn't changed. It's been a team that's been on a mission all year. And we're very, you know, like you said, we don't get a lot of, you know, maybe looks or hype or whatever. We've kind of quietly went about our business and we're fine with that. There's not, you know, the attention that we want is the attention that you get from winning. And and if we do what we are capable of, I think a lot of people are going to be, you know, it's pretty cool once you see a team win, how much, you know, how many people start following that team and becoming fans of that team. And you go on the road, you play on the road, and there's more jerseys in the stands and all that sort of thing. And I noticed that from, you know, when I played for Colorado, we were struggling. And then now after they've won, you know, they come in our building, you go somewhere. I've played them with multiple teams since, and there's more of those jerseys than there used to be when I played there. So I've noticed that, obviously, Pittsburgh. I mean, think about Pittsburgh, what they've done, right? So they've continued to. So, you know, I think that's that. If we want notoriety, that's the kind of notoriety we want. And we're okay going in a little bit under the radar and quietly going about our business. And all eyes are on the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's where you want to, you know, make your hay. And if you are, I guess, that's the positive attention that you want if you are looking for that.
Can you talk a little bit about the chemistry of your roster? Because I was looking at it this morning, and I don't know if there's a better team that has such a solid leadership group with you and Pavelski and Ben and all those guys, but all the young superstars that are just coming into their own and just playing out of their mind just on a nightly basis at this point. And then on your line in particular, playing most of the season with Sagan and Marchment, what makes that line work so well, and how do you kind of see yourself fitting within that line?
Yeah, I mean, we were really, really hot. I think we had the best numbers of any line in the league before Sagan got hurt. He was out for a few weeks, and we had a little bit of a revolving door on our wing with Marchment and I. He and I weren't playing, maybe hit a bit of a lull there, weren't playing our best. And then Sagan's come back. We've had some good ones. It's just been, and every one of our lines has kind of had that kind of lull or kind of up and down and whatever. And that's kind of why all the numbers are where they're at. Mm-hmm. And, which is okay, because I mean, no one's playing 20 minutes. Everyone's playing about 15, 16, which if I was around that in other places, then it drove me crazy. But because when you're sitting on the bench, you're watching amazing players go out there and do their thing. It's just kind of like it's a next man up kind of mentality. And it's something we talked about at the start of the year. You know, our team kind of motto or slogan has been, you know, a little less for a lot more. And we have a flag with that, okay, with all our signatures on that in our dressing room. And it's something that, to a man, we've bought into. And so you don't mind playing a little less, maybe producing a little less if it's going to add up to something. Everyone, it makes it pretty easy to park that. And when your team's winning and is this good, and it's really paid off. We're very, very well coached. And then, like you said about, you know, the veteran leadership, I mean, we're, you know, John, you brought up Pav. Like, Pav is, I mean, you know him, he's awesome. I mean, he's a great guy to hang out with, have laughs with, you know, have a few beers with, go golfing with, talk about the dumbest stuff in the world like we all do in the room. But then, like, he's a gamer, he cares a lot, he works out his game. Still, he still loves it, and he's just a great presence to have. He's a calming presence, I think, on the team. Jamie Benn, I could say honest, like, the exact same word for word about him. So those two guys are kind of the, you know, they've been here a while, and they're kind of the two main cogs in the wheel in terms of the leadership in the room. And then we got some young guys who lead a little bit more by example that are a little quieter maybe. And, you know, for me as a guy, one of the older guys in the team coming in, you come in and, I mean, you just try and fit in the best you can. And then you kind of find your niche on the team. Kind of, I'm an outgoing guy. I'm a talker. I love to have fun. I'm a smile on my face all the time. I'm, you know, making jokes, making people laugh, stuff like that. So I just kind of, you know, you wade into that slowly and then, you know, just kind of become that guy as it comes to you. And I've got along with the boys so well this year. It's been a lot of fun. And it's just, we have a little bit of everything in that room, both on and off the ice.
I was actually just going to ask that, because I bounced around myself, but I was never you. Like, I'm who I am. So what's it like going into a team and you're a star, like you're a stud, you're expected to perform, and you have an outgoing personality? Is it nerve-wracking going in and you don't want to step on people's toes and be like, bitches, I'm Matt Duchene. Like, give me some room. Or no, do you like?
I'm
do you
not
have
that
to
kind
play
of guy. No, you know what? It's not hard for me to do that because, I as a young player, you know, you learn the hard way. You know, young guys are kind of to be seen and not heard, especially in the old NHL. And I made all those kind of mistakes when I was young, and because I had no idea. I mean, how can you? I was 18 when I came in. I 2 years of junior experience, right?
And crazy, yeah.
Like you just have no social experience that way in a locker room, and you learn some hard lessons, figure things out. And you know, I had a, you know, some people along the way that helped me out. And but now at this point in my career, and I'm kind of at that point where you understand how to go about it, and you come in, you kind of observe at the start, and then you kind of let your personality come out. And I just want to be true to myself. I don't want to pretend to be anything I'm not, and be phony and I don't like that. You can always tell. I mean, you played enough where guys are trying to act a certain way to have some sort of reputation or whatever, and you can always tell it's not authentic. And you know, I just never want to do it that way. And so, you know, as it's gone on, I've you know, slowly, but you make relationships too, and then you feel like, okay, I can
open up a little bit. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You can kind of, you feel your way through. So, I think each time I've moved around in the last bit, this one was unexpected. The first few times it was kind of by design. It was kind of my decision, and I was kind of in a position to be able to kind of choose where I went. But this time was a pretty big shock to the system, and still had a great opportunity to choose, you know, Dallas, and feel very grateful for that. But you know, I didn't expect to be in a new locker room this year, you know, in the summer, but it's been amazing. I mean, the guys here are outstanding, and they've welcomed me with open arms, and I've made some really close friends really quickly here.
Well, let's talk about that, because you've mentioned it twice, and I want to just touch on it a little bit. The Nashville Predators, you played well there. You had your best season in the NHL statistically, 43 goals, 43 assists, 86 points in 2021-22. Had a great year last year, too. Going into the offseason, you said you didn't expect it. What happened? Was it just out of the blue? You just got a call, your agent?
Yeah, my agent texted me. My wife read it, came up and told me, and I like had a meltdown.
No way.
Like, I found out 20 minutes before everyone else would have. You know what? I kind of chalked it up to just, and you've been around enough that you know how it goes. A new GM comes in, wants to revamp things. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I was the only guy that got shipped out. I was the last one, I guess. Mm-hmm. And when Joe Hansen got moved, I thought he and I were part of the plan going forward. And he and I are very tight. When he got moved, my radar kind of went up, but I still wasn't really expecting anything. So, but honestly, at the end of the day, it's as much time goes on, and you know, you still sort through the emotions of it, especially because of how committed I was to that franchise. I mean, when I decided it was time for me to move on from Colorado, that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in Nashville. I believed in that team. I believed in that city, that franchise, the fans, everything. That's where I saw myself, you know, kind of being the rest of my life. And I, at this point in my career, that's still the plan, to be home when I retire.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have tons of friends there. So it's not when I go back there, it's not like, you know, it's not like I want to walk out on the ice and flip everyone the bird or anything like that. Like, it feels like home. And so there's a lot of bittersweet feelings towards it still. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think I just realized I think it was the first time in my career I really understood and really got a bitter taste of how tough this business can be. And
it's a business,
You know, it's such a business. And, you know, someone comes in, they don't think you're the right fit for whatever reason. They want to go a different direction, revamp, do this, do that. And there's a lot of, you know, really good players and really good people that got shipped out there. So at the end of the day, you try and not take it personally. You try and just look at it as a business. And, you know, they've had a good year. And not to say that might not have been the case had we kept that team together. You know, we obviously made the playoffs every year except last year that I was there. So it's not like it was like we were bottom of the league and underperforming. There was a few years there I think could have been better for me on the ice, but like I told you, it was a tough situation. It just felt like we were trying to hold water at times. It just didn't, for some reason, just didn't click. So yeah, that's kind of my outlook on it. And for me, it's just, you know, yeah, there's days I think about it and there's times I think about it, and you know, you're a little upset about it, but at the same time, God has a plan, and I'm a Christian guy, very faithful guy that tries to, you know, as much as we all fail as people, try to put my faith in a bigger plan, and I just believe this is where I'm supposed to be right now, and I'm just trying to make the most of it.
All right, this interview with Maddie's going great, but before we go too far, let me tell you about AG1, everybody. This is something Tim's been doing for over a month now, I've been doing for over a month now, and we absolutely love it. My skin is flush. I feel so good. I drink AG1 every single day. It's a beautiful nutritional supplement. It works well in my schedule. I take it in the morning before I get any food in my belly, and I feel right away. I feel better. I feel like a superhero, Tim. It's fantastic, and I'm not one to take vitamins or any of that stuff. So this is huge for me. I can get everything all in one gulp. I drink it. Our partners at AG1 are fantastic. They've been sending us all this junk, and it's doing great. And you know what I love the best, Tim? I love that little vitamin D3, K2 little vial. I feel like I'm a scientist. I put a little drop in my tongue. It's so good. And everybody tells me, oh, you live in northern Michigan. You got to make sure you get your vitamin D. Guess what? I don't need to worry about it anymore. I take my vitamin D3, K2. And I can check that box. I get all the vitamin D I need, and I get a little extra, K2, N5, whatever that is. It's going to be good for me because I know AG1 is not going to steer me wrong. How's your journey going, Tim, with AG1?
It's going great, man. I am almost done with my second month, and I'm taking it every morning just like you are. First thing in the morning on an empty stomach is when it's at its most potent. The big thing for me, and I talked about this last time, was just those mid-afternoon lulls. I'm such a victim of, I just get really tired, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and I'm like, man, I'm dragging my feet, but not anymore. It doesn't like give you a huge boost of energy like a caffeine drink would. It just creates more sustained energy throughout the day. You can just not have those lulls in the afternoon, which has just been a game changer for me. Especially, I work for myself now. I'm a solopreneur. I'm a freelancer. I can't afford to lose hours of the day. So it's really helped me with my goals, and I should help you too. Check it out.
Yeah, and if you want to take ownership of your health, like Tim has, and I have, it starts with AG1. So try AG1 and get a free, absolutely free 1 year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/DTG. That's drinkag1.com/DTG. Now check it out, and back to Maddie Duchesne. Yeah, when I was going through my junk, I leaned on my wife. How important was that to have her around, just like a support system? Because a lot of guys don't have that. Did it just make it easier for you?
Yeah, her and my family. I mean, I think we got tighter with my parents even as kind of the four of us through that experience. Yeah. We flew down here like 2 or 3 days after, and you know, looked at a million houses. My parents came with us. We brought the kids. We flew in a friend of ours from Nashville to take care of them for those days. And, you know, just the support and the love you feel when you go through something like that. I think a lot of us equate our success, and it's actually, I'm sure you guys watched the Masters. So I'm hearing Scotty Scheffler talk about his identity and,
right. Yeah.
And the way he looks at himself is pretty admirable. And, you know, on one hand you could say, yeah, well, it's easy to, you know, say that when you're the best golfer in the world, but at one point he wasn't, and I'm sure he was still that guy. And you know, that's the type of, you know, outlook I'm trying to have, where it's like, what are my priorities? You know, it's my faith, it's my family, and then it's what I do for a living. And I think through that situation, I, as hard as it was and as emotional as we all were, you know, I'd cry, then I'd stop, then my wife would cry, and then I'd have to help her. Like it was kind of a back and forth. And you know, you realize that how much more of what you are than just a hockey player. And that's still something that, yeah, you know, when you go through a slump, you forget like that. But at the same time, that was a great experience for that. I think we got closer as a family through it, and the love I felt from them and my friends, and just the amount of people that reached out to me, like from around the league, and old, just people that I hadn't talked to a ton that, you know, called or whatever. And
I apologize.
Yeah, you're good. You're good, man.
Sorry.
Man, I next time it happens to me, I expect a call, though.
of course.
I jumped on here, but then everyone from the, you know, inside, you know, the Preds organization, I got a call from or a text from literally everybody and felt the love there too. So that made it a little easier too. So yeah, I mean, still, like I said, it's still something I'm sorting through, but very grateful to be a Dallas Star and really excited for the season.
I think you landed in a pretty good spot. Quickly, why Dallas? Because you said you could have went anywhere, and obviously it narrows down. Yeah. Like it wasn't everywhere. But you had a few teams. But why? Obviously, the Stanley Cup opportunity there. But was there any other teams that were dipping their lure in the Matt Duchene waters?
I was really fortunate. I had some really great options, and I'll be honest, they came at a time. They came quickly after the news kind of broke, and I was not in a place to even
thinking
about it. I was trying to still stay in Nashville, whatever I could do to stay there, even though I was on like waivers for, getting bought out. I was still trying to, try to talk my way back into that situation. And I would have gone back and, faced whatever it had to be at that point. But then I realized, okay, I got to start thinking about, something different, because that's what's going to happen here. And Dallas was the first team on my mind, and my agent told me that he got a call from Jim Nill minutes after the news broke, and I didn't find my agent gave me some time before he started talking to me about it, but when we did start talking, that was the first team that came up, and I had two teams at the forefront right off the bat, Dallas being one of them, and then there was a few others I started to think about, and then you kind of go through that process, and I had to make a decision quick. Like, I found out at noon, and then by 3 p.m. the next day I was signed with Dallas, and it was kind of wild that at 1 p.m. I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna make this decision, and then it just kind of, I don't know how it came to me, but it felt like I think at one point I was pretty sure on Dallas, and I was trying to almost play devil's advocate with the other places.
Yeah.
But long story short, I mean, easy decision with how good the team is, the organization. I talked to Pete DeBoer the night that everything went down with Nashville, who I've known for a long, long time. I know him and Steve Spott from junior and early in my NHL career. And Misha Donskov, who was with Vegas, I know him from Hockey Canada stuff. And then Jim Nill from Hockey Canada stuff. So
yeah.
Those people, they all felt really comfortable for me. And I knew how good the team was. So talked to a few of the boys, asked a couple questions, and just talked to people around me, and everyone was saying Dallas. Everybody around me that they were all saying, you got to go to Dallas. You got to go to Dallas. If you have an opportunity to go to Dallas, go to Dallas. So that was that was where we landed, and kind of the Southern lifestyle is very, very similar, obviously, to Nashville here in Dallas, and it's felt almost identical in terms of our day-to-day, and we just love the values of, down here, and people are super nice, and it's been really comfortable. It's been a really easy transition for us.
Well, speaking of opportunity, you're 33 years old now. You've played more than 1,000 NHL games, only 32 so far in the playoffs, though. Can you talk a little bit about just at this point in your career, what this opportunity means to play not only in the playoffs, but on one of the best teams in the league?
Yeah, I mean, my goal is still to play, 100 plus games of playoffs, right? Like, I want to keep playing a long time. I hate when I hear that I'm 33, because it always means there's more behind me than ahead of me, but that's the way it is. And like everybody says, I remember listening to some of the older guys when they were retiring saying how fast it went. I couldn't believe how fast it went. And when you're 22, you're like, whatever. And then now here I am 33 and you're like, yep, they were bang on. So yeah, I haven't played nearly as much playoffs as I've wanted to. Like I've told you, I've only been past the first round once. But, hopefully this is the year that you add a lot more games into that 32. So that's the goal. And it's definitely, I've been fortunate enough to play a lot of times with Team Canada and win some championships there, but never had the chance, real good look at a Stanley Cup. And that's what's on my mind. Every single day I wake up, for the last handful of years, for sure. I think before that, you try and establish yourself, get yourself to a point where you feel like you're ready to help a team. And then, you get to a point where you're like, okay, I want to start having a chance at it. And I've been there for a long time now.
So if the playoffs started today, or if Vancouver loses one of their next two games and you guys come first place in the West and the Vegas Golden Knights don't win, they end up in eighth. What are your thoughts on playing those cheaters? Salary cap, almost 100 million, just awful, awful, dirty, rotten cheaters. Do you guys talk about that? Is it, something that's on your radar?
Well, we know we could play them. We're definitely talking about, all of us are talking about the scenarios every day about, there's three teams we could play right now, depending on what happens. And All of us are, our heads are there for sure. And that's kind of the trap right now with the game tomorrow night. Like I said, hopefully Vancouver loses tonight and we don't have to worry about it. But, you know, they'll probably take care of business. They want to win just as much as we do. They want to have the first seed. So, I think that at the end of the day, we haven't really, I know there's some guys that want to make up for last year. That was the team that beat the Stars in the conference finals. And anytime you get beat by somebody, that kind of becomes the dragon to slay, so to speak, or the, you know, that team that you want to beat. Yep. And whether we play them in the first round or not, there's a great chance we would see them down the line. So, I think right now, I love when we talk about it, how everybody to a guy's like, doesn't matter who we get, we got to take care of business. And, you know, it's a very business workmanlike attitude in that room. And there hasn't been much talk about I think at the deadline, everyone was like, how are they doing this? But, you know, that's within the parameters of the rules and they're figuring a way to do it. And why not do it, right? If you can do it, why not do it? So maybe there's a change in the future where, you know, we make sure that there's a salary cap in the playoffs, but at this given time, there's not. And they made some great moves. I mean, that Hurdle trade makes their team a lot better. So he's a heck of a player, and they're lucky to be able to land him. So Hanifin as well. So that's a tough any round matchup. But like I said, in this league, you gotta beat the best to be the best. So at some point, if we want to win the Stanley Cup, we're gonna have to beat some damn good teams.
Do you feel like Tyler Seguin is a little bit selfish to not get hurt at the end of the year, so you could pick up Thomas Hurdle?
I don't know if that was ever going to be a thing that we would do, but I don't know what conversations were had, but
I had to ask.
I mean, we were wondering, I mean, as teammates, we were like, what's going to happen here? Is this going to be one of those situations? Maybe if the right opportunity came up, but again, I'm sure everybody felt like we didn't have many holes to fill. I mean, we had a Tanev, and that was a guy that all of us have been talking about since November, and being able to land him and do it the way we did, not giving up a ton, was an unbelievable trade for our team. And he's been everything he was advertised as a player. He's been awesome for us. So he definitely came in.
Listen, Mark Stone's done this 3 years in a row, and I don't even know where your spleen is in your body. So I couldn't even tell you how you heard it. And he's miraculously skating right now. So I'm not, I know you can't say anything, but to me, I'd be a little upset. I'm like, okay, really? Your spleen? Now it's better?
We'll see what happens. Usually they have to remove it, I think. I think they take it out. Yeah, Peter Forsberg had that back in 2001. I don't know if you remember that, but they won the cup and he didn't play the whole playoffs. He ruptured it in round one. So, that's the only reason I know what a spleen is from when I was a kid. And
point to it in your body right now, because I have no clue where it is.
It's somewhere in your stomach. That's all I know. I don't even
know what side it's on. In this general area.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. I know we don't want to keep you too long. You gave us a half an hour and we're approaching that quickly, but I just want to bring up, do you remember 2016?
Of course.
You went to the All-Star game and I was there too. And do you remember chasing me when I went shelf?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Here's my question, and be honestly honest, because I know you're an honest guy and you wouldn't lie.
Try to be.
Were you giving it like 80% at least on the back check? Were you trying to strip me?
Here's what I'll say about that, because I actually, one of the refs came up to me after and like kind of gave me a pat or whatever. And what? I will say, so I got up near you and I mean, you were a rangy guy. You had a long reach.
Damn right.
And I was using a stick that was like 3 inches shorter than I have now. And I remember I was in a weird spot. I'm like, okay, he'd be kind of a hero and lift his stick and take the puck? Cause like, no matter who you're going on, you're back checking your ass off and in an All-Star game, it kind of looks funny. Right. But I was there and I'm like, and then I was like, I got to kind of take it. And then you shifted over and went cheese before I could take it. So
okay.
I will say that it wasn't. Was it the effort I would have given in game 7? No, but it was not
like game 3.
I would have given in like, it was more than the effort I would have given in like a pre camps scrimmage, I will say.
Pre-camp scrimmage? I thought he was going to say preseason game, Tim.
Okay, preseason.
He gave me a pre-camp scrimmage with his buddies.
You still had to score, though. It doesn't matter. You did go top cheese. And I remember seeing that. I went, whoa, that was sick. So, honest to God, that is exactly what happened. I was like, okay, I'm going to take this. And then you kind of shifted and went upstairs before I even knew kind of what happened. And it was like, okay, that was pretty nice.
Because I felt like I had you on my hip. And I was like, I'm reading where he's going. And I just dangled you.
Your hip was at the blue line and your stick was at the dot. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, you had that height and range that's,
okay.
Yeah, I can be on your hip all I wanted. I didn't really have a chance at it.
Were there tears with the wife after that one, that loss?
No, not that one. No.
Okay. just wondering. It was a big game.
Man, I love how it turned out. I wouldn't change it if I could.
Were you annoyed? Was that your first All-Star game?
No, it was okay. My second one.
That was my first. Were you annoyed by all the attention that I got? My jersey's right there. I really hold
on
to it.
Why don't you have a frame, man?
I don't have any. I know. You know how much this cost?
No, let's send it to somebody who'll do it for free for you.
Who?
I mean, I'm not paying for it, but you could send it to Fanatics or someone. They'd do it for free for you.
Have you seen their jerseys? I'm not letting them touch that thing. Not a chance.
Well, now you're definitely not getting it framed.
I know. We're not going to do that. All right, Tim, let's get Matt out of here. We do a rapid fire here on our show, and Tim's going to fire some questions, but you have to be honest. Okay.
I will be. I told you.
First thing, look at the sun setting in the background there. It looks beautiful in Dallas.
Yeah, the weather is awesome. It's about 80 degrees today. It's been really, really nice.
How often do you have barbecue?
Not as much as we'd like. Like, are you talking, do we barbecue or do we have barbecue?
I guess both, because Dallas is known for, you know, barbecues and that sort of steaks.
But barbecue, not as much as I would like. It's not really on the, not really the best thing to be eating during the season, but my wife she cooks some stuff for the kids tonight on the barbecue, but we're pretty much just trying to survive most of the time.
She
did a great job for the kids. I just didn't have any. She made stuff for the kids, and she made some corn. It was really good.
Oh, look at you, corn on the cob. Lovely. All right, Tim, you go ahead. Tim, I'm stealing your thunder.
All right, rapid fire. Who do you spend most of your time away from the rink with on the team?
I would say Ottinger, Marchment, and Delandria would be the three guys, kind of a toss-up. Probably Ottinger would be the number one.
Mm-hmm. Who did you idolize or model your game after growing up?
My two guys, I brought one of them up earlier, were Sakic and Forsberg. I was a diehard Avs fan as a kid, and pretty unbelievable to get to play for them. And Joe was my GM, and I played with Pete his last two games in the league. I was last ever sticky in the NHL, actually, signed up for me. So
how did you get that from him?
I asked him. I went right up to him. I said, hey, like, can I have your last stick you used? And he's like, yeah, sure, man. Like, didn't care at all. Like, you wouldn't have pried that out of my hands. Like, I keep everything, and I collect stuff, and I would have, I wouldn't have been parting with that, but he didn't care. So I got that in my place home.
How about this? We were playing Timu Solane, one of his last games. I asked him for a stick. He gave me one. I get it back in the locker room. Like, this is fantastic. My trainer goes, I wonder what the flex is. Snap.
No way.
Right in half. I'm like, you son of a. Mm. Oh, yeah, I was so pissed. Timu Solane.
That's a tough one.
Taped it, but it's not the same. It's not the same.
Who's the hardest defenseman to play against?
Who's the hardest defenseman to play against? I mean, there's a ton of good ones. I feel like we just played somebody recently. I gotta think on that one.
Who comes to mind?
Ooh.
You just played Seattle and Winnipeg and Buffalo. So
honestly, any given night, like, there's so many guys that can skate and, like, just be in your face and annoying annoying guys to play against. But you know, a guy like Devon Taves sticks out. I played a lot against him in the series against them a couple of years ago. Seen him a lot in the division. He's just a great skater, always in the right spot. Yeah, he's good. There's somebody I'm missing right now that every time I see them, I'm like, oh, man. Quinn Hughes is really tough to play against. His skating is just so good. You know, he's a smaller guy, but he keeps his position really well. So these smaller – good, well, uh, like really good skating defensemen are tough to play against, for sure.
You'd rather play against a guy like Trouba than a Quinn Hughes?
Depending on the situation, like what's going on. Like if I'm battling a corner, I would probably rather Hughes, but because he's a smaller guy, Truba's a monster. But you know, time and space wise, maybe Trouba. I mean, he's a good skater too, though. Like the big guys can skate too, but some of these smaller guys, you just can't beat them. They just like and then they're hard to play against when they have the puck, right? They're challenging you all over the place. So there's a lot of those guys out there, obviously now.
All right, two more questions. First is a fill in the blank. Miro Heiskanen is a top what D-man in the NHL?
Three.
Everybody?
Yeah, he's so good. He doesn't put up the numbers that you would think. He three, five on it. There's so many good ones now, but yeah, like for me, he's top 3 to 5 all day long. I mean, those guys are, for me though, are all interchangeable. Makar might be the one guy that's kind of separate himself, but then they're like kind of 2 through 7 are probably interchangeable night to night, and he's in that group as well. So
Josi, Fox, Hughes,
Heiskanen. Fox, Heiskanen,
Buddhist.
There's a lot of really, really good defensemen out there right now, and Miro is as good as anybody on any given night.
All right, last question. We have a lot of young kids that listen to the show and families. What advice do you give to young hockey players who want to develop their game and get better at the sport?
Yeah, I think probably similar to what John would tell guys too. Like, if you love it, this is always what I say. If you love playing, work as hard as you can at it. Try and get as good as you can at it, because if you get to do it for a living, it's a blessing. As hard as our life is day to day in terms of the mental stress and the pressure and all that kind of stuff, it's such a blessing to do this. I mean, the pros far outweigh any of the cons, and it's the best game in the world. And you know, if you're good at it and you love it, it's why not go for it, right?
I have a couple more. Who on Nashville do you not like? Like, just anybody in general? Just one or two?
I will tell you, all those guys that I played with, again, most 3/4 of that team's gone now, but we had an amazing group there. I was pretty tight with everybody.
Whatever, Matt, I don't care. And then you're going to be a UFA. Where are you going to sign next?
I mean, I'd love it to be here in Dallas. Okay. This has been awesome. So we'll see if it happens. And, it's definitely on the top of my priority list to come postseason.
After the cup parade, of course.
Heck yeah.
All right, Matt, we'll let you go. Thank you. It's already twilight there in Dallas. I appreciate it, man. Sorry for being a pest on Instagram.
No, you're all good, man. Yeah, it's great to jump out with you, and good to talk again.
Yeah, you're a gem. We'll be in touch. Good luck going into the playoffs, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt Duchene, Matt. Everybody. Have a good one. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.